Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in! You are tuned in to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army wives. Our life, our family, our soldier. Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army wives, by Army wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more. Now reporting for duty, your hosts, the AWN Core Team.
Well, hello, Army families. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio. We are the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Core Team. I'm your host this evening, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Betsy Raines. Today is Monday, April 17th, 2017, and this is show number 604. We're glad you're here to hang out with us tonight.
Tonight on AWTR, we continue a month-long mini-series of interviews where our featured guests are our very own Army Wife Network Core Team members. This episode features interviews with Betsy Raines, AWN's blog editor assistant, and Jennifer Aloisi, our News 6 field correspondent. Also, later in the show, we'll be announcing the next in our month-long series of giveaways that we're hosting to celebrate our birthday here at Army Wife Talk Radio. This week, the name of one very lucky winner has been chosen to receive a gorgeous Stars and Stripes crocheted Afghan blanket handcrafted by Brennan's Blankets on Etsy. So be sure to check them out on Etsy and be sure to stay tuned. We've got a great show ahead for you.
If you're listening to our show live, join our fun show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. Comment on the show, ask questions of Crystal or myself, or just hang out and chat with the AWN Core Team. Head over to twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork and be sure to use hashtag ArmyWife to participate.
Tonight's show is brought to you by your AWN Core Team. We're a dedicated group of volunteers that are passionate about empowering you in this military life. Get to know us through our bios on ArmyWifeNetwork.com, or you can follow each of us individually on Twitter. Get a behind-the-screen look into our Army lives, too. We're just like you. Well, Betsy, I'm so excited to be hosting with you this evening, and I get to interview you a bit later in the show. How's things going in your corner of the world?
They have been pretty good. We just celebrated Easter, and it was awesome because in our 5 years of marriage, this was the first one that my husband and I and my oldest stepson just decided to spend with ourselves, like just a little family thing instead of, you know, going out or him being deployed. So.
Oh, how neat. Oh, that's right. He's back. Yay. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you enjoyed a nice Easter together, and we enjoyed sunrise service yesterday. Now, I have a confession. I've never been to sunrise service. My church growing up never did that. And the last year I was sick. And so I couldn't make it last year, and I can't remember. We usually went home to Kansas to celebrate Easter with my family, and so we would be in Kansas on Easter before that. So anyway, I went to my first sunrise service. I guess it's a military thing, and I loved it. I'm not a morning person, but it was the neatest thing to. We were in the courtyard, and you're familiar with the Fort Hood Chapel, where that courtyard there. And it was just such a great service, and it was very cloudy yesterday, but just as Fields was preaching, it was like the sun started to break through, and it was such a neat experience. I thought, I am going every year, so
yes,
that was worth it. There was something special about that. Of course, I kind of felt proud of myself for getting out of bed at the crack of dawn, actually before the crack of dawn, so I could be there at the crack of dawn in my Easter dress and got the kids up and out the door. And so I got to hear my husband give the benediction, and so it's always neat to hear him speak. But so it was a great Easter for us, too. But you know what? Tomorrow, now I didn't realize this at first. I've always heard that the tax deadline is April 15th. But since it landed on a weekend this year, they extended it to April 18th, which is tomorrow. Thankfully, though, I got my taxes in about 2 months ago. Have you gotten your taxes filed, or are you a last-minute filer?
Yes, no. Taxes, money, granted, right now I'm taking financial peace at Community Connections, but money still stresses me out. So, yeah, my husband and I got ours done a while ago as well. I cannot do procrastination when it comes to taxes.
I know, there's just, something about getting that off your plate, just getting it done, getting it off your plate so you don't have, you know, first of the year rolls around, and as soon as you get all your W-2s and just get that filed. So
yes,
I'm glad I tend to be last minute. So if I had that mindset, and normally I probably would, but I have a husband that's like, where are we at? You know, he makes sure I'm tracking. Let's get her done. So thankfully, we got it done a couple months ago. So he's a, let's get it done now, get it off her plate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, let's wait until we're biting our nails.
Yes.
But I listened to him, and I got it done. So thankfully.
Yeah, I think our husbands are similar there, and it's good that we have men who are like that, because I am very much a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants sort of person, too.
Yep. I like to pride myself in organization in many ways, but there are just other things that, yeah. Well, Betsy, I'm looking forward to getting to know you a bit better later in the show. First, however, let's go ahead and move on to our hot topics this week. Hot military family news. Budget woes mean less lead time for military family moves. Military families are already faced with less time to move to their next assignments and may see movements delayed if Congress does not take action, service officials told Stars and Stripes this week. Each service is facing budgetary pressure under the continuing resolution, a stopgap measure, Congress, that functions in lieu of a budget for the current fiscal year. Continuing resolutions mean that each service receives the same budget lines for every department as it did last year, regardless of needs. For example, if a service wants more people at a particular base this year, it won't receive additional funds to make that change happen without a separate exemption passed by Congress. To read more about how this is affecting our military families across the armed service branches, head over to military.com and look for the news article, Budget Woes Mean Less Lead Time for Military Family Moves. We'll also be posting a link directly to this article in our Twitter feed for you this evening.
And hot on Army Wife Network this week, when you or your partner are on active duty, moving is unavoidable. The fact is that military couples and families have to move a lot. It's just part of life. When you've moved multiple times within a few years and can only anticipate moving more in your future, learning all the ins and outs of moving can mean the difference between a stressful mess and relocation perfection. So what do you do when your permanent change of station ends up being not so permanent? Whether you're gearing up for a PCS or settling in after one, these tips can help you hone your PCS finesse. 1, sell it or toss it. 2, choose a ditty or do-it-yourself move. 3, make a master plan. 4, get a moving binder. 5, ditch the liquid. 6, take an inventory. And lastly, first things first. To learn more about these 7 moving tips, head over to armywifenetwork.com and check out the blog section, or look for a direct link on our Facebook and Twitter pages.
Hey, AWN fans. just celebrated Easter and spring is in full swing as flowers bloom and many of us begin planning our gardens, while others, like me, lack the green thumb it takes to make everything other than cactus grow. We would like to know, do you have a green thumb? And I particularly would love some of your tips and tricks for getting your garden to grow. And what are you growing in your garden? Share with us. Head over to AWN's Facebook page to join in the discussion and add your tips and tricks for keeping plants alive.
And last but not least, it's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit them to one per show and ask for them at least 10 days in advance. Send your PSA to info@armywifenetwork.com. The need for blood is constant, and sometimes that need becomes critical. From accident victims and cancer patients to premature babies and those with blood disorders, hospital patients rely on all of us to make sure that the blood is on the shelves and ready to help. That's why the American Red Cross needs you. Make an appointment to give blood today by calling 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcrossblood.org. Your one blood donation can help save up to 3 lives. That's it for our PSA. Coming up next after these quick commercial breaks is our new 6th Gen, bringing you the need-to-know stories. We'll be right back.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit armywifenetwork.com for details. It's time for the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Welcome back to AWTR. We're here with our News 6, bringing us a report from the field about the new military blended retirement system. Hey, Jen, what news do you have for us tonight concerning the new retirement system?
Hi, Crystal and Betsy. The Military Times has begun a recurring article series on the new blended retirement system, written by two economics professors from the U.S. Military Academy. For service members who joined the military from January 1, 2006 to January 1, 2018, the choice to stay with the current retirement system or switch to the new blended retirement system is a big decision. The first article covering the topic lists 3 factors to keep in mind when making that decision.
This sounds like a great series of articles, Jen. I know this is a big decision for many people in the military right now. What is the first thing service members and their families should keep in mind when deciding to opt into the new system?
The first factor is the automatic and matching contributions the Department of Defense will make to service members' Thrift Savings Plan accounts. The automatic contribution, set at 1% of the service member's base pay, starts after their first 60 days of service. At the beginning of a service member's third year of service, they will become fully vested, meaning that all the contributions from the DoD are theirs, regardless of when he or she leaves the service. When the service member becomes fully vested, the DoD will also start matching funds that he or she contributes to their Thrift Savings Plan account, up to an additional 4% of their base pay. The new blended system also provides an additional cash bonus called continuation pay that service members will have access to at 12 years of service. This bonus can range from 2.5 to 13 times the service member's base pay and comes with a 4-year additional active duty service obligation.
That sounds like a good deal for our active duty service members. What's the second factor they need to consider?
Another benefit of the new blended plan is that a service member can leave the service with an established retirement account even if they do not retire from the military. Under the current system, service members must reach 20 years of active duty service to retire and receive a pension. With the blended plan, a service member still has to reach 20 years of active duty service to earn the pension part of the plan. However, if they are fully vested and leave before the 20 years of service, all of the Thrift Savings Plan contributions, both the service members and the DoD's, are theirs to keep. For those service members who do not plan on making the military a career, the new blended system is a better option because of this feature.
And what's the third factor service members should keep in mind?
One big difference between the two plans is the defined benefit or pension aspect. Under the current retirement system, a service member's annual pension equals 2.5% multiplied by the number of years served and the average of the service member's highest 36 months of pay. Under the new retirement system, the percentage drops from 2.5% to 2%. This 0.5 percentage point difference amounts to a 20% reduction in the amount of the pension. This reduction will have the largest impact on service members who retire in their late 30s or early 40s and do not plan on starting a new career. For those service members, sticking with the old retirement system could be the better option.
Okay, Jen, that's a lot of information and a lot to think about for those soldiers and service members who have to make this big decision next year. If a service member or family member would like to know more information about the new retirement system, where can they go?
Well, the Military Times will be continuing their information series on the new blended retirement system over the next year. However, a service member's best option for more information and the best option for themselves and their family is the Service Members Chain of Command, or ACS, where they can talk to certified financial counselors.
Jen, thanks so much for this report. And listeners, stay tuned after these messages for our continued series of AWN Core Team interviews.
This is Tony Roberts. When a child tires easily, wheezes, or coughs persistently, it could be a sign of asthma. An attack can be triggered by allergies, exercise, stress, weather, colds and flu, smoke, or other things. See your child's doctor. Asthma is serious. It could even be life-threatening. But excellent medical treatment is available. With proper care, a child with asthma can enjoy a full, active life.
A message from the Will Rogers Institute, WRInstitute.org. Wayne Brady for the Will Rogers Institute.
Hey, folks, I've got something that will truly revolutionize your life. It's called exercise. It will get you from here to there, allow you to spend time with your family and meet new people, cut inches from your waistline, and improve the quality of your life, even help improve your self-image.
Sexy.
So when you've got to choose between moving around or lying on the couch, choose exercise. You won't be sorry.
For your free booklet, visit WRInstitute.org or call toll-free 877-957-7575 and find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff. Tonight, we continue a series of interviews with your AWN core team, airing throughout the month of April and in celebration of our 12th anniversary.
And I'm your co-host, Betsy Rains. Army Wives Talk Radio began in April 2005 as the original Internet talk radio program for military wives. Originally, AWTR was a 30-minute weekly Internet talk radio broadcast featuring up-to-date information, tips, and empowerment for Army spouses. The show has had a great amount of success, being featured in Military Spouse Magazine, Stars and Stripes Newspaper, Military.com, and Army.com, just to name a few.
Well, in case you didn't know, Army Wife Network is powered entirely by the talent and dedication of our amazing team of volunteers who work to encourage and empower military families. Without each of them working together as a team, there, well, quite frankly, wouldn't be an Army Wife Network. So as AWN's owner, I wanted to let you see them for the rock stars they really are, and they truly are. But really, though, in the end, we're all just like you, experiencing the same roller coaster ride of military family life as you do. If we can do it, you can do it too. And that's what we hope this series is inspiring in you, that you can do it just like we do, and better. Anyway, this month, in addition to fun interviews with your AWN core team, we are also super excited to bring you a month of giveaways as our way to say thank you for tuning in each and every week. We're also thrilled because a very generous military supporter, Mrs. Wrench Designs, and that's Wrench, R-E-N-C-H, is running a special just for our AWTR listeners for the entire month of April. To take part in this the special discount, go to her Etsy shop link that we are posting in our Twitter feed as we speak, and customize your military-themed item in her Army Wife 12, that's Army Wife in all caps, 12 at the checkout, and receive a 12% discount, signifying AWTR's 12th anniversary. This deal runs through April 30th, so hurry, because you don't want to miss out. We're already halfway through the month.
And thank you to Mrs. Wrench Design for her generosity. Now, let's get started with our first interview of the night, Army Wife Talk Radio's News 6 and Post with the Most author. Jennifer Aloisi is a stay-at-home mom of six, ranging in ages from 5 to 16. She's married to Sergeant First Class Michael Aloisi, an Army musician who just hit his 20-year mark in March, so congratulations. With the prospect of all six children being in school full-time starting in the fall, Jen has resumed her classes in legal studies and is working toward her paralegal degree. When she's not busy wrangling the Aloisi tribe, playing shuttle bus driver, or learning how to write legal briefs, Jen likes to volunteer in her community and at her children's schools. She currently lives in Texas. So, Jen, you have been an Army wife for almost 20 years, and what has been your absolute favorite duty station?
I've liked just about every duty station where we've served, but my absolute favorite was Yongsan, Korea. I loved almost everything there, from the food to the culture to living in a gigantic city, and even our tiny Korean apartment.
Oh, wow. I've got to ask, was it difficult for you to PCS overseas like that, away from family at stateside?
Well, before we moved to Korea, we had been stationed in Hawaii. So we had already been away from family for almost 3 years by that point. So it wasn't It wasn't difficult to make that transition, but it was completely different, a complete culture shock to move to a foreign country.
Oh, I bet. So to go from Hawaii, so you went from Hawaii to Korea, right? Wow. That would be quite a move. And Hawaii, like, from what I'm learning, has just basically, I mean, it's consistent year-round pretty much in its temperature. Does Korea have, like, temperature variations and seasons? And what's it like over there?
Yes. Korea was a lot like where I grew up in Ohio. So it would be very cold in the wintertime, not a whole lot of snow, but it got very cold. And then in the summertime, it would be in the 90s to 100s, and then we would have monsoon season. So that was a little bit different. We never had monsoons in Ohio, but at least we had all the seasons in Korea, which was nice after being in Hawaii for 3 years.
Oh, yeah, I bet. And that's kind of cool. I didn't realize that they had those extremes, you know. And thank you for letting me ask those questions, because I'm just really curious about other cultures, and we haven't been overseas yet, so I wanted to pick your brain. But anyway, as a seasoned Army wife for 20 years now, what's your advice to new spouses?
I have two pieces of advice for new spouses. One is to get out of your house, and two is to volunteer. I've PCS 7 times, and I've never moved to a duty station that I immediately loved. It's human nature to focus on what's new and strange and maybe see them in a negative way or even be afraid of them a little bit. So we can choose to stay in our houses and keep being afraid of these weird new things, or we can get out of the house and explore a new duty station and find things that we enjoy. As for volunteering, I'm not an extrovert. I have a hard time putting myself out there and getting to know people and making new friends. But through volunteering, I've literally met some of my best friends in the world. By volunteering, you can become connected with people who have the same types of interests as you, or at the very least have the same servant heart as you.
Wow, I love that you don't provide an excuse for introverts. That is excellent advice.
And that's advice. I was just thinking that's advice I need to remember. I'm tucking that away in my, because I'm an extreme introvert, and so that was just the timing of that advice is just it's perfect. So thank you for that, Jen.
Jen's laying down the truth. So, Jen, obviously I know you are super busy just with your kids and now school and everything else, volunteering. What do you like to do outside of Army Wife Life?
So I volunteer a lot. My family was named Volunteer Family of the Year last year at Fort Knox.
Oh, wow.
My husband and I both believe strongly in giving back to the community, and we try to instill that in our children too. When we first moved to Texas, I vowed to my husband that I was not going to volunteer at all. I was going to focus solely on school, and that lasted for about the first week that we were here. It's something that I enjoy too much that I couldn't give it up. I've been a stay-at-home mom of 6 kids for close to 20 years, but this summer I'll be working as program director for 5 weeks of Cub Scout Day Camp here in San Antonio. So I don't know if I'm a glutton for punishment or if it's going to be a super great time. I haven't decided yet.
maybe a little bit of both.
We'll just believe. Yeah. We'll believe it'll be a super great time, and every gray hair will be completely earned. Jen, you recently PCS'd to Texas, San Antonio. What a neat area. Leaving your oldest daughter behind to attend college, what was that like for you?
Personally, this move has been the hardest that we have had to make. My daughter chose her college in Ohio when we thought that we were still going to be stationed at Fort Knox for another year. She planned on being far enough away from us that she could be independent, but close enough to come home for long weekends and all the holidays and whenever she needed her laundry done. But then the Army changed their plans for us. Surprise! And we get orders to Texas. Leaving my daughter behind was the toughest thing I have ever had to do as a parent, hands down. But she is a military kid and is so very resilient. She's rolled with the punches and is thriving and loving life at her school. I think I would have been much more worried about her if she didn't have 18 years of military experience behind her.
Wow, that takes a lot of strength on everyone's
I just wanted to say real fast, as a mom of older children, that I can so identify with how difficult that is. You know, it's even to be an hour away, but knowing that you're close enough that within a drive or something you could, you know, a short drive, you could still see your child. But there's something about, I don't know, it's still hard for me. And I have been, about a 12-hour drive from my oldest for a year and a half now, and it still is difficult for me. So I just totally feel for you there. So,
yeah, it's been a tough year. She came home for Christmas break in December and was home for about a month, and then went back to her college in Cincinnati for spring semester, and she was there back at school for about a week and a half, and then she sends me a picture on Snapchat of her foot and ankle completely wrapped up in bandages, and I started freaking out. What happened? What did you do? She works at the theater on base, and they were moving set design pieces, and one of the pieces fell on her ankle, and she broke her ankle. And for her to be a two-day drive away from me and be hurt and have to be taken to the emergency room, and I couldn't be there to do that for her, that was very difficult.
Right. That's so hard. What, if you don't mind me asking, how do you stay in contact with her? You said Snapchat. What are some ways that you stay connected?
We message on Facebook almost every day, and she sends me Snapchat pictures of just her dorm and her roommate and the her work-study job that she has at the theater. So she'll send me pictures from when she's sitting there bored out of her mind because her job is to hand out programs. And so not a whole lot of phone calls because she's not a talk-on-the-phone kind of person as most of the kids in her generation are. But I hear from her almost every day.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's neat about technology, too. We were, you know, earlier we were talking about you going from Hawaii to Korea and having lived away from family for a while. And the neat thing is we do at least have technology now that allows us to even see pictures and even talk. You know, I love Skype. For me and my daughters, we Skype a lot, and I have a grandbaby, and so that's how I can kind of keep up with his fast development in his first year of life. So it's neat that we can at least stay connected that way, and we're not counting on snail mail like when I was a kid. You know, it was a big deal to get a letter in the mail, and you'd have to wait for, I had a pen pal, and you'd have to wait for a couple of weeks before you hear back. So unless you talked on the phone, we did have phones back in my day, but anyway, many moons ago.
Well, Jen, I guess on the upside here with, you know, everything that's been going on with your daughter, your husband's close to retirement. You're at your last duty station, so that kind of gives you a little bit more freedom to pick up and move wherever you want to go after this. But what's the one duty station you'd pick for one more PCS if you had that opportunity?
I would go to Korea again in a heartbeat. If they called us tomorrow and said we have a slot available, we would be on the next plane, and we'd probably pull Elizabeth out of school and take her with us, because we all loved it there that much. But if I were to pick somewhere where we haven't been stationed before, it would be Alaska. It's been the one place I've wanted to live since I married my husband, and we've never gotten the opportunity to PCS there.
Do you mind if I ask what the appeal of – I've actually heard several people say that they would love to go to Alaska. What's the appeal?
Just the nature and the – I have a friend that's stationed there now, and the pictures that she posts on Facebook are amazing. Just There's like wild moose that walk through her yard every day, and
oh whoa.
And just the mountains and the glaciers and the snow and all of it. I would just love to live there.
Oh, how cool. That would be neat. That would be neat. Make up for all the snow. Well, cool.
So
well,
I
just
want to ask, real quick. I've been, typically with Korea, I hear it tends to be hit or miss. Either people love Korea or they hate it. So what do you think is that difference there based on what your experience was, Jen?
I think a lot of it has to do with my advice for new spouses to get out of your house. It seemed to me when we were there, the spouses that tended to not enjoy their time in Korea were the ones that would stay inside their house, would stay on the base, and wouldn't go out and explore Seoul and explore, get to know the people and get to learn more about the culture and try the food and be a little bit adventurous. I'm not super adventurous, and I'm not crazy about trying weird, strange foods, but just little baby steps outside your house. I would find military spouses to go with me, and we would pick one neighborhood or we would pick one market once a week and just go look around and explore it and learn how to use the subway and try some new food and also try to hook up with those spouses that had been there for a while, for a year or two, and kind of knew the ins and outs of how things in the city worked and the really great places to go shopping and the best places to eat.
Wow, I love that. Wow. That is such great advice. I like that you break it down like that.
Right. And I was going to ask, Betsy, that was a great question, which kind of brought me to another question. You're our new six, and you wrote the Post with the Most series. How do you go about finding what's going on at your current duty station and learning more about it and getting involved?
A lot of it is connecting with military spouses that have already been here, or because my husband is in the band field, it's a relatively small field, and so we know just about everybody that's in the band field, no matter where they're stationed, because there's only about 20 Army bands that are left. And so it's always nice to go, whenever we PCS somewhere, we know somebody that is already currently stationed there or has just left that place. So it's great to connect with them again and have kind of a built-in friend when you already get to your new duty station. And somebody that already knows the ropes and can tell you, like, this is a great place to go get your haircut. This is where I take my kids to the dentist. And these are the really cool things that you want to do when you're there visiting. And because you're moving to Texas, make sure that you don't plan anything for the months of June, July, August, September, October, pretty much not until November. Don't plan to do anything that is outside.
That's right. Truth. Wow. Well, these are such great tips. Thank you for sharing with us about your adventures and the 20 years of Army wife experience that you have. It's been so fun getting to know you better. Listeners, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be continuing our behind-the-screen interviews. Next, we'll have Betsy in the hot seat, so be sure to stay tuned. And don't forget, if you're listening to our show live right now, the AWN core team is over hanging out in Twitter chat. Join in the conversation. You can ask questions of us by going to twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork and use hashtag ArmyWife to participate. Be sure to click on that live tab button to get real-time chat updates. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
As a veteran of the United States military, I can finally get the opportunity to enjoy special events, like a date with my wife. or going out together with my family and friends. Things that we couldn't afford, thanks to VetTix.
Every empty seat at a concert, a game, motorsports, or a play is a missed opportunity to say thanks to a veteran and service member. We can help. We can give our veterans a special event where they too can create their own cherished memories. Find out how by visiting www.vettix.org. That's www.vettix.org. Find out how you can make a difference in a veteran's life.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed a live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the show. We're chatting with AWN Core Team members as part of our month-long Behind the Screen mini-series. In the last segment, we got to know our new 6th Gen a little better and learned some great tips from a seasoned Army wife of nearly 20 years. Before we move on, Betsy, let's find out who won this beautiful Stars and Stripes crocheted Afghan handcrafted by Brennan's Blankets on Etsy.
Awesome. Let's do it. So our winner this evening was randomly selected from the entries to our Facebook post earlier today. And our winner is Wendy Cox. So congratulations, Wendy. We will be contacting you soon for your mailing address so we can get your Stars and Stripes Afghan on the way to you ASAP. Also, listeners, don't despair if you missed out on tonight's giveaway. We will be doing one more amazing giveaway next week. And don't forget, as we mentioned earlier in the show, you can take advantage of the Mrs. Wrench Designs promo going on through April 30th. And again, that's for a 12% discount on customized military decor from her Etsy shop. And that's Wrench, R-E-N-C-H.
Okay, now, Betsy, it's your turn to be in the hot seat. Elizabeth Rains, commonly known as Betsy, is AWN's blog editor assistant and full-time seminary student called to become a military chaplain. She is married to her best friend and lives near Fort Hood with her oldest stepson and two fur babies. Elizabeth holds a master's degree in clinical mental health counseling and interned at the Fort Hood Family Life Chaplain Training and Resource Center. She is passionate about trauma, attachment, and the impact of military life. Adoption and step-family life are also close to her heart. Elizabeth, also known as Betsy, volunteers as a youth leader with Fort Hood's Bob's Diner, which is a youth group, and enjoys walking alongside youth through the ups and downs of military life, faith, and teen issues. Well, Betsy, let's start off. First, tell us, how did you meet your husband?
We actually met when he was on recruiting duty in Pennsylvania, since that's where I'm from, so sort of like Jen's neighbor. And his boss was kind of a mutual friend, acquaintance, and so I was able to meet him through that, just through that avenue. I had job shadowed his boss at one point, and we maintained contact. We'd talk every once in a while. And so when Alan moved to Pennsylvania to start that duty, we ended up meeting. He was looking for friends in the area, and I'd actually become really disillusioned with some of the people I had met at college. So I was looking for friends, and so we ended up actually meeting at church.
Oh, neat. And friends make the best kind of husband because you got so much in common. And so I think that's really sweet. So how do you chart your own, well, kind of switching gears here, going from something sweet and romantic. How do you chart your own career path while coexisting with your husband's career? Because you kind of mentioned that you shadowed where he had worked before you met him. And then, so how do you, you know, your husband has this career in the military, and you've got all this going on with, you know, mental health counseling and internship and getting your degree and, well, and volunteering. How does that mingle?
Yeah, so that was actually a really, I guess, kind of tough struggle at first to figure out how that, what that would look like. Since I did not grow up in the military. My father is a veteran, but he had gotten out long before I came along. So I had grown up with this idea of all women working, or I guess with dual, can't think of the term, but, you know, two people in the relationship bringing in a paycheck.
Right.
But then I had this idea that, oh, well, if I'm a military spouse, then I'm going to stay home. And so I was trying to figure out what that was going to look like. I already had my bachelor's. My bachelor's is actually in journalism and history. It's not even in counseling. And I was looking to work at a newspaper here in Killeen. And Alan had actually expected me to stay up in the Pennsylvania, New York area and work for a newspaper while he finished up his military career. So at first we were not on the same page when it came to what my career path would look like. But really it just took a lot of figuring out, okay, what is going to line up best. My degree was on campus. It was not an online degree. So I knew or at least I was hoping, you know, we were going to be stationed at Fort Hood for those 2 years when I would be getting that degree, and it worked out. But I have tried to maintain my own career path as well. So keeping up with volunteering and staying in touch with what's going on post, but at the same time, I'm not super heavily involved with the FRG, for example. Not that I have anything against the FRG. I think a lot of spouses have a negative idea of FRGs. I actually have a really good FRG. But even though my husband he was a first sergeant, at one point I didn't get super involved there. And so that has enabled me to kind of keep a boundary and follow my own career path as well.
I think that us as military wives struggle with balance, because if we're pursuing education or career and even volunteer work, and there's so many pulls on us and so many directions and so many expectations, you know, good expectations and then just bad, you know, sometimes some bad assumptions, you know, about military wives.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that is a good point that, you know, you chose that at this season in your life, you're not going to be involved with the FRG. Nothing against that, but you've got to find some balance and determine, okay, what's going to get me to where I want to go or where I feel called to go. So I think that's an excellent point. And you had talked about, you know, you and your husband weren't even on the same page initially, not even in the same state.
No.
So at some point you moved from Pennsylvania to Killeen, Texas. How did you get involved with the community after moving? And kind of what was that, if you don't mind me asking, what was that journey for you to get from there? Is this your first duty station with your husband, or?
It is, yes. Our first and only. We've been here for 5 years.
And Betsy and I kind of, we know each other outside of AWN too, so I was in the know.
Yeah, man, Fort Hood is a hole. Like, you come here and that's it. Like, you die here. You retire from here. It was, at first, really hard because I grew up in Pennsylvania. I mean, moving to Texas was the first time I like left my parents. So it was a totally different experience for me. I had to like kind of, I had to rebuild who I was, which I now realize is super common. You have to do that every time you PCS, but I wasn't used to doing that. And so I threw myself out there, even though, as most of us have mentioned about being introverts, it is hard. And I really didn't want to do it, but I really had to force myself to be extroverted. We didn't have a women's Sunday school class at the chapel at the time, so I volunteered to start one. And then I started a thing called Baking Brigade, and once a month we would go around to the barracks and give soldiers cookies, because in college I remembered that, you know, when the RAs or anyone would come around to your dorm room, you'd pretend you weren't in there unless you heard someone say they had cookies, and then suddenly like, oh, yeah, hey, and you'd be ready to talk. So we did the same thing with the soldiers, and I threw myself into that volunteer work, into my schooling, and just trying to get involved, because I knew that otherwise I totally would be one of those spouses that Jen was talking about earlier, where you stay in your house. Like, I would have just gone to school, done my work, come home. I wouldn't have bothered getting to know anyone.
Right. And I love that, Baking Brigade. That is funny. It's amazing.
Yes.
When you bake cookies or baked goods or anything, they come out of the woodwork. But it's so
yeah.
fun to give back in that way. So, anyway, kind of transitioning then, because your career path is as a counselor, and you're going on you're in seminary to become a military chaplain. Now,
mm-hmm.
as a counselor, what inspired you to look at mental health as a holistic issue?
I think my first kind of foray into that was studying families and systems therapies in contrast with individual therapies. So I realized, especially when it comes to kids, I can work with kids all day long on whatever things they might be struggling with. But if they're sent back into the same home environment, that may not necessarily be healthy and supportive of the work the child's doing, then I really can't make much of a difference in that child's life. Whereas if we look at it more holistically and focus maybe on the parents, not on the adults and the people who are making those choices, and figuring out, okay, well, why do they operate the way that they do? Then we can create real change in a family. And so that was when I started viewing it that way. But I also noticed how food and exercise really impact the body. I know we hear about that a lot. At first, it wasn't really something I was willing to dedicate myself to. Like, I hated running and I love junk food. But it was 2012. In 2012, I was going through grad school and I suddenly started experiencing all of these really weird symptoms. And I later found out that I had been pregnant, but I had miscarried. And at the time, I carried such guilt over, you know, what could I have done differently? And I decided to experiment with a vegan diet and just eating as clean as possible. And I actually noticed a difference in my energy levels and my skin cleared up and all this other stuff. And so that was kind of another one of those markers that started putting me on that path toward looking at things holistically. Getting into essential oils was another thing. And just realizing that we have so many things on this earth that can help us heal from the things that we've experienced in life.
Right. That's a good point. And I know that you and I had actually talked some about different ways of healing and like treating the person as a whole versus symptoms. Like, you have a headache, okay, so you take some Tylenol, but what is the headache caused from? You can take the Tylenol and and treat that symptom. But especially if you have reoccurring headaches, is it caused from stress? Maybe your blood sugar is getting too high or too low. Maybe there's something you're allergic to, you know, and so, and that's just one small example of when you treat the person as a whole versus, you know, putting that in a box, you know, or kind of the same with mental health. When someone, we just say depressed and put that into a category, and so they try to treat depression with a pill instead of, okay, what's some things we can do? And not saying that I'm not against medication, not, you know, I'm not saying that at all, but, you know, what's some other things that we can do instead of just treating it with a pill? Can we use essential oils? Can we get out into the sunshine? Can we eat better, you know, healthier? Just a walk, you know, studies show that just a 30-minute walk a day does amazing things to boost your energy levels and your emotional outlook. So that is, I guess these things are kind of near and dear to my heart too, especially in regards to treating families as a whole. You know, I think our system, like our foster care system, and I'm coming from a child welfare background, so I think this is where we connect well on, is that trauma and attachment. And you know, when we pull the child out and treat the child individually, which they do need, you know, need to heal, that's
right.
Great. But we need to remember, we can't then just put them back into a broken family or push them into another family to treat as a whole, you know, as a unit. And like Kansas, where I'm from, that is something that they were beginning to do when I left, and that was really seeing some success, is treating the family as a whole, you know, and not just the child, and then placing them back, or not just the person who neglected or abused the child, but the whole family, you know. And so, anyway, I'll get off my soapbox there.
That's great.
I love talking with you about that. So, kind of moving on to a slightly different subject, but very important, is relationship with your husband. Now, he's since you've been married to Alan, he's deployed twice. What has those experiences been like, and how did you maintain your relationship with your husband while trying to balance that with me time?
So his two deployments have been very different from each other, in that the first time he deployed, it was just the two of us in the house. And so since I was going through school, doing internship, generally just staying really busy, it worked out well. It was actually my first experience living like alone. I mean, I'd gone to college and everything and been away from my parents, but this was my first time being in the house by myself as an adult. And so it was a great growing experience, and great in terms of friendships. It was within the first few weeks of being deployed that a pipe burst in my front yard, and I was about to call my dad at 3 a.m. and realized, okay, Dad can't fix anything from Pennsylvania. And so I called one of my friends, and she had no idea what to do, but she drove over to offer moral support while we tried to figure out
how to
fix this pipe. Yeah, so that first deployment was just a major learning experience for me. And it was great because I did get a lot of me time, obviously. Reintegration was a little tougher because, you know, I had just spent a year doing things my way, and now suddenly my husband is back. So that was a little tough. But then the second deployment, the one that he recently came home from, was different because my oldest stepson moved in with us. And so not only was I figuring out and managing my own schedule and my own emotions, but I was also trying to help him figure things out and work on his emotional health and build our relationship together. And my husband had deployed. It was a matter of months. It was less than a year after my stepson had moved in. And his whole point of moving in was to get to know his dad better and spend time with dad. And so that it was disappointing, but at the same time, it was a really incredible time of growth, just in terms of relationships and in terms of seeing my stepson become more independent and self-assured. It was definitely tougher for me to get that me time, just because I was so introverted, but at the same time, trying to stay in tune with my stepson's schedule and everything. And so this time around, me time a lot of times looked like just going to bed a little bit earlier, or maybe taking some extra time in my devotionals, playing with my dogs. So it was just different and just required a different way of thinking and creativity and things like that. But both of them were really incredible learning experiences.
That's so neat. Now, you're a few months into reintegration now that your husband's back home. Do you have some tips for us in building that relationship? And, you know, it's sort of, people say it's the second honeymoon. You know, we're lucky as spouses, we get to have, more than one honeymoon or something, but it's actually quite tough to reintegrate, you know?
Yeah.
So what are some of your transitional tips, you know, for transitioning back as a couple living together after a deployment, being apart for so long?
Yeah. So one thing that I did was I would try to keep him apprised of our schedules, and so I would email him things so that he would have a general understanding of what our day would look like, so things weren't super surprising. I made a rule that he couldn't drive for the first 2 weeks after he got back, and then I broke it within the first week, and I was like, yeah, it was a terrible idea. I'd be like, don't break the rule if you said it. So I broke it once, and then I'm like, no, 2 weeks. We need 2 weeks. So I did the driving for 2 weeks. And I also made no expectations of him. I didn't want him to feel like he had to just jump right in again. And I actually wanted him to kind of take a break and just observe how my stepson and I had been going with the flow and what our groove was like, so he could observe first and then jump in when he felt ready. And that was incredibly helpful. At the same time, it was also difficult because typically when it comes to blended families, step families, it's the biological parent who is supposed to, you know, have the majority of the authority there. And that wasn't quite the way we did it, just because, yes, he was the biological parent, but then he'd been gone. And so it was a struggle for me to figure out, okay, where did I step back too much, too soon? What should I have done differently? So that was a learning experience and something I had not considered until he got home. But overall, I would definitely say taking a week or two to not require your spouse to drive and taking a week or two to not give expectations. I think both of those things go a really a long way in easing that transition period.
Wow, great tips. Great tips. Betsy, thanks so much for letting us catch a glimpse into your life this evening and getting to know you better. I've had fun, and it's been inspiring, and you just have such a neat story. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. We hope you're enjoying this behind-the-screen look into our lives. Join us next week, April 24th, 2017, as our Core Team miniseries finishes up with interviews with Lisa Walters, AWN's blog editor, and Debbie Cunningham, our virtual assistant, or VA, as I like to affectionately refer to her. It's going to be another great show and another fun birthday giveaway. You don't want to miss it.
And in the meantime, join us on armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets, including Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DoD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.